Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
March 13th, 2007. The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, Las Vegas Wrap-Up. Well, welcome back to another episode of The Digital Story. That's me, Derek Story, with my friend, Mr. Sore Throat. That's right, Mr. Sore Throat accompanying me back from Las Vegas, and the two of us are sort of hanging together these days. But I got enough in me to do the show, so if you don't mind a little rasp, I don't mind to keep talking. So, what was I doing when I picked up this friend of mine? And I'm talking about a sore throat. Let's stay clear on these sort of things. I was at PMA, the Photo Marketing Association show in Las Vegas. It was last week. It was a good show. You know, this is a show where most of the time, all of the big announcements happen in the camera industry. Now, there were plenty of announcements, but not really huge, big announcements. I mean, Olympus introduced a new camera that's very nice. There was a lot of upgrades. Panasonic, I spent a lot of time with Panasonic cameras and was very impressed. And they had some good stuff going on. Canon, before the show, introduced their upgrade to their professional body, the Mark III. Again, if you got a whole bundle of cash laying around the house, it's a darn good camera and a good way to spend all that money. Nikon introduced a new version of the D40, which has more megapixel power, yet still has that compact body. So there's a lot of stuff like that. So I was at the show, and I was doing a lot of events and having a lot of meetings and looking at stuff, and I was thinking, I really want to interview someone for the Digital Story so we can kind of talk about our PMA experience. And a lot of folks I talked to didn't really have the breadth of knowledge. They were interested in one little thing here or one little thing there. And finally, I had a chance to hook up with my features editor from Macworld Magazine. Her name is Kelly Turner. And she is very interested in photography and very knowledgeable about photography. She has to be because she edits my stuff and Ben Long's stuff and a whole bunch of other folks. And she is the one that keeps us in line and asks us the hard questions to make sure that we are writing clearly when we write about photography. And in order to do that, she has to know her stuff too. So coming up in a few minutes, I have a chat with Kelly Turner from the PMA show floor. It's pretty interesting. I kind of like it. I just listened to it again, and I think you're going to like it too. And we sort of talk about the things that we noticed and some of the trends, and it's a good chat, and Kelly is a terrific person. But first, I want to do a little virtual camera club business. The February gallery texture is now online. If you haven't seen it yet, you've got to go. You've got to go check it out. This is an outstanding gallery. I'm just really pleased with the effort that everyone put forth, and you'll know what I mean when you go and take a look at it. So check it out, the photo assignment. Of course, if it's rolled off the front page, you can always click on posts, and you'll see it in that list. And you can always go to the photo assignment in the drop-down menu where it says jump to. You can just jump to all of the photo assignments and you can see the last one plus the previous ones. Now, that leads me to the photo assignment for March, the month we're in right now. And as I mentioned in the last show, it is self-portrait. Self-portrait for March. I'm really excited about this one because I think we're going to see things that we just haven't seen before. And I mean that in a very good way. But, there's self-portraiture can be very straightforward, or it can be wildly creative, and it can be everything in between. Plus, I'm excited because we're going to get you in front of the camera for this assignment instead of, you know, always back behind the camera. So now you're going to have to work both sides of the lens. I'm pretty jazzed about this. Now, of course, as I've mentioned before, the easiest way to do self-portrait is put the camera on a tripod or something, focus on an area, put on the self-timer, go to that area where you focused, and make a face when the shutter snaps. That's the most basic self-portrait, and then you can just go on and on from there. You can hold the camera out at arm's length and do that, although, yeah, you know, a little of that goes a long way, so try not to send me too many of those, the, you know, the arm's length, hold the camera out, and grin into it. Not my favorite. It's great when you're, you know, hanging out in front of Niagara Falls, but, you know, for photo assignment, maybe not the best in the world, unless it is clever, cute, interesting, you know, something unique is going on there. So, photo assignment for March is self-portrait. Get them in by the end of the month. If you have any questions about how to submit, go to the submissions page on www.thedigitalstory.com, and that submissions button's there at the top. Click on it, and it will tell you everything that you need to know to submit a photo to this month's photo assignment. Now, another cool thing about visiting everyone at PMA, I got to see our two sponsors, both Expo Disc and Boink Software, the makers of Photomagico, were there at the show, and I got to say hi and tell them about all the great things that you've been saying about their stuff, and it was great to be able to relay it in person. Over at Boink Software, they have now released Photomagico 2.0. I'm going to be writing a little bit more about it on the site, but heads up there, the final version of 2.0 is out, and I really think you ought to take a look at it. All you have to do is click on the link on the Digital Story, the Photomagico link, and it'll take you right over there, and you can take a peek. And there was lots of good business happening over at the Expo Disc booth, too. And, of course, they are the makers of the wonderful color balancing, white balancing Expo Disc that allows you to tame any crazy light situation using the custom white balance setting on your camera. Thanks to both Expo Disc and Boink Software for their support of the Digital Story. Okay, let's get to Kelly. I'm going to take you now onto the show floor at PMA in Las Vegas. We were right there in the middle of everything, and have a chat with Kelly, and then I'll come back afterwards and wrap up. So I'm here with Kelly Turner, and she's the senior features editor for Macworld magazine. She's actually my boss sometimes when I freelance articles for Macworld. She is a great photo person. We're just sitting here, actually, on the trade show floor at PMA. We're talking about photo stuff, and I said, we got to capture some of this on tape here. So welcome aboard, Kelly. It's great to have you. I've never had you on the show before.
Thanks, Derek. It's good to be here.
So we're trying to figure out what are the hot things at PMA that you and I should be paying attention to. And the list isn't really that long, is it?
No, it's a somewhat quiet show. But there is, you know, there is stuff happening. As we were just talking about, the big buzzword for consumer cameras is face recognition. Last year it was image stabilization, which I was really excited about because the cameras really need it for low light. This year, face recognition, helping with auto-focusing. If you have someone off-center, the camera will find them and try to focus. I don't know if it's as essential as image stabilization, but everyone, you know, at the booth seems to be excited about their cameras having it. Almost everyone does right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought that. I was going to ask you about it. So the way that face recognition works, it does two things really, right? It finds the faces in the frame, and it makes sure that It focuses on them, as I recall. And then it also does some exposure adjustment for them?
It sets the exposure, yeah. So typically it can find up to 9 faces in an image, but you have to be, the faces have to be pointing the camera. It has to see both eyes or else it can't, it doesn't know that it's a face. But the idea is that, so you, if you have 2 people in a shot, it's to prevent your camera from focusing between them. Yeah, so it sets the focus to the faces and it changes the exposure to try to make sure it's getting the best shot of the faces, regardless of what else is happening in the image, which you may or may not, you know, want, depending on what you're trying to do.
So I wonder what happens if you take a portrait of a group of pirates. Does it work then?
It's a good question.
Because it seems like the eye patch might throw it off, you know, kind of thing.
I'll also say HP is showing a camera where they've added PET red eye removal. I guess it's not technically red eye since it's green eye. And I guess they tried doing it where the camera would automatically detect red eye like it can do for people. But pets are so different and multicolored, they couldn't do it. So you actually do it after you take a photo. But I think it's, you know, it's an interesting challenge.
It is. I actually had a cat that had, when it got red eye, it got one red eye and one green eye in the same, yeah, one eye would be red and the other eye would be green, which I for the life of me,
cat.
I think cats by nature are a little different. Anyway, so, you know, back to this face recognition thing, do you think it's going to evolve into something that's actually useful, or do you think this is something that's kind of, we're promoting it because we can do it kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to become more useful than it is in kind of this iteration. I'm not sure kind of more what could be done with it. I know some people are working on technology to help track movement in a photo and to kind of track the camera movement so it knows when to focus. I think as far as face recognition, I mean, I think this is kind of it.
Well, and that sort of leads back to the previous year in the evolution of image stabilization, which I think we're both pretty high on right now.
Yeah, I mean, the compact cameras have just a really hard time in low-light situations, and the flash just washes out everything. So I think everyone's looking for a way to capture good photos that are sharp, because it's, I think, one of the hardest things to do with a compact camera right now. And there's a lot of ways to go about it. Digital optical, some cameras have 2 different types of optical depending on the motion. I mean, it's kind of a complicated scene right now, but everyone seems to be working on it, which I think is good. I mean, I think that's really kind of a important aspect.
I think it's a really important technology, and we were talking this morning. I went on that Panasonic shoot, and of course Panasonic has built it into all of their cameras, and I was talking with a couple of their photographers, and the approach that we're taking is we're trying not to depend on image stabilization. We're trying not to depend on those extra stops that we get. But it's nice knowing that it's there. And I think it makes us a little bit more comfortable pushing the envelope. Maybe trying a handheld shot at 1/8 of a second instead of 1/15 of a second. And a lot of times I'm actually getting pretty good stuff on the edge where it could have gone either way before.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's good to hear.
So it's a little bit of a safety net, too, you know, among other. We're going to be talking more about image stabilization, you and I, up the road, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. It's something I think we're going to work on, you know, trying to figure out what the different types do and how they really apply to you and how they're useful.
Have there been any cameras on the floor that you looked at and go, ooh, I'd really like to have that one? Or has it been just kind of the evolution thing?
Aside from the new Canon Mark III, which I can't really afford, which, you know, looks really, really cool, I don't know if any digital cameras have really stood out, anything that's new here at the show. I mean, obviously a lot of stuff was announced at CES. That's kind of cool. That's just now starting to come out. But the show announcements have been pretty tame. Obviously, GE getting into the camera market, there's already a lot of people in the market. I think it's an interesting challenge for them. They seem to be really going at the consumer, people who are buying entirely on the brand name. I don't know. We'll see how they do.
I'm with you. There hasn't been a camera that I've seen at the show where I say, I have to have that. I have to get it right now. Now, I do like the Mark III a lot, the new Canon. But as we've talked about before, shooting
of photography is only about a third of my job, so I'm not sure that even I can justify that kind of... I have this wonderful 5D that's just really doing great, and so I probably even won't get the Mark III. Now, something else we've been looking at are these picture frames that were these digital picture frames everywhere. What kind of impression have they made on you, and have they changed any from last year?
I desperately want a good picture frame. I think it's really cool. Right now, I use my Mac as a digital picture frame when I'm, you know, not using it. It's my screensaver, goes through all my favorite photos, and I love it. I'd love to have one in the living room, and I'd give one to my mom. I don't know if the picture frames right now are quite what I'm looking for. They've definitely gotten better since last year. Richer colors, a better viewing angle. I know last year, a lot of them, if you stepped a foot or two to the side, you couldn't really see the image anymore. They've gotten a lot better. They're bigger sizes. But, you know, I'm really looking for a frame personally that, you know, has internal storage or can connect wirelessly to my iPhoto library. I already do that with all my music. I stream my music around the house. I'd love to be able to stream my photos to a picture frame, too. I think that'd be really cool. We were talking about earlier the color space. It's kind of hard to figure that out at the moment. You can't really profile these to make sure your photos are going to look good on them. They're not quite there yet, I think.
I agree with you. I mean, I really want one in my studio, and because I just think it'd be great. I could actually choose my pictures according to the kind of client I have coming over. But until I really have control over how those images are going to look, it would actually hurt me more than help me if I had a picture frame that didn't show my pictures in the best light.
And a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but some of the people here seem to be working on the idea of using your TV as a picture frame. They have these HD photo viewers kind of that are tended to connect to the TV and your camera, and they display it right on your HD TV. Samsung has one which actually will let you, it will organize your photo according to color so you can make sure that the photos that display match your decor, which I think is kind of funny. You know, that one has internal storage, so you can actually just load your photos onto 250 gigabytes, I believe. Sony has one that does not, I don't think it has storage, it just, you know, connects to your camera and displays them. But, you know, I think that's a great idea, too.
I do, and I think these are going to evolve. They're user-friendly. They have, I love 250 gigabytes of storage. I'm glad someone's finally getting that. Good remote control. And I think for some people that really want to bypass the whole computer thing, I think, you know, they're useful that way. Now, I wanted to ask you about another thing. You told me about something I hadn't found that you found, which was HP now has a little portable dye-sub printer that does up to 5x7.
Oh, well, it's not dye sub. It's an inkjet. It's their portable inkjet. And I think they actually came out with it maybe a few months ago. I think it was in 2006. But yeah, it's compact, has a great screen on it, and it does 5x7s as well as 4x6s right out, and doesn't need a computer or anything. It's a cool little device.
Well, good. I'm going over there this afternoon, so I want to take a look at it because I really like doing. I do 4x6s a lot out of dye sub just to hand to people, but I like 5x7 a lot better. So I'd love to get my hands on that one.
5x7 is the new 4x6.
Well, actually, 13x19 is the new 8x10 for me, but that's another thing. Well, thanks so much for joining us. So, for people that like reading Macworld articles, obviously we want them to subscribe. Macworld magazine's on the newsstand, right? And it's a good place to do it. And then also online.
Macworld.com. We have news, reviews, everything goes up online. Lots of tips, tricks, blogs. There's a creative blog that Rick LePage works on, and just lots of great information. There's a digital photo column in the magazine every month, so which you are prominently featured in. Pick it up.
It's one of two magazines that I still make sure that I get every month. The other one's Popular Photography and Macworld Magazine. So the online sign is great, but I encourage you to also take a look at the paper magazine. It's a lot of fun.
Great. It's been great being here.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks to Kelly for taking a few moments to sit down with me at the PMA show to talk about the interesting stuff that was going on there. I tell you, I had a great time, and it was really fun to look at all the stuff and talk to all the people who are really enthusiastic about the things that were going on at the show. But you may be wondering, well, Derek, what did you like? What did you really like now that the show's over?
And one of the things that I truly enjoyed shooting with was the Panasonic, the Lumix FZ8 camera body. I got to go out and shoot with it for an entire morning out at Red Rock, and I put a post on the Digital Story about it. This is a 12 times optical zoom. It's a Leica lens. It has raw camera, raw format function. It's just a terrific little camera. It's very responsive. It has lots of pro features. It's only going to be between $300 and $349, depending on where you find it. And I think it's going to be out next month. So I saw a lot of really good stuff at the show. I really enjoyed looking at the camera bodies in the Canon booth, the Olympus booth. Even Samsung had some pretty good stuff going on. The Panasonic people, they're really making a move on the market, and I think I'd keep an eye out on what's happening over in their camp, too. So that's it for this week. I had a great time at the show. I'll be glad when the sore throat goes away, and probably by now you will, too. Don't forget about this month's photo assignment, self-portrait. I'm looking forward to seeing what you send in. Now I think it's time for taking pictures, so grab your camera. Go get some shots, and I'll see you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.